Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, or you could always head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcast, and please share those on social media. We have a big show tonight with congressional candidate Laverne Spicer, but first off, how are you doing tonight, Rob?
I'm doing good. I'm excited about tonight's show. You know, Andrew, so far we've had a lot of interesting guests to come on, a lot of candidates that are running, that are willing to serve, throw their hats into the ring and say, hey, I'm for the people. I will represent you. And that's what we need. Because as we see right now, there are a lot of folks that are on the left that are claiming to represent the people, and they're not. They're doing everything besides representing the people. They're dividing the people with race, gender, and God knows what else. So it's refreshing to see people that are willing to jump in and to serve, because that's what we need. But when you don't have your thumbs on the pulse of your district, if you're not listening to the people, as one of the gentlemen came on our show and said the other day, listening to the heart of your people living in the district, it's time for you to go. And it's not just the left, because it's the right also. I, for one, my own humble opinion, Andrew, you might not agree, I think Mitch McConnell should step aside.
Exactly. I mean,
he has done what he needs to do, but now it's time to move on. I would say the same thing about Liz Cheney. She's new, but she's not bringing anything to the table but division. Ben Sasse, the same thing. Mitt Romney, Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, the list goes on and on and on. It is time for these people to pack their bags and get out of the way, because they are the swamp. They're dinosaurs. They're not looking at new ideas. There is no reason why we have conceded so much ground to the left. We have got to get in there, and we have got to fight. We can't be afraid to fight. We can't be afraid of race. And that's where they're killing us on, Andrew. Every time they throw that up, what do? We go up under some shell and hide. We got to stop it. Tim Scott showed us the other day how to push back, but he's a Black man. We need our white conservatives to get out there and push back as well. What is the problem? Don't be afraid to have the conversations. Yeah, it might be uncomfortable because you've never done it before, but you've got to start the conversation. We have got to look at other things also that people are looking at and they're listening to. And unfortunately, the Democrats have managed to flip this thing over and talk about race, while President Trump set an example by bringing in more Black people, reducing Black unemployment. We need to talk about that. Come on, conservatives, wake up. So that's my diatribe for the night. But I hope our listeners are listening to this, and I hope they're reaching out to their congresswoman and congressmen and saying, let's get up there and let's get after it. So without further ado, let's bring on our guest, Laverne Spicer. And as you said, she's running for Congress in Florida's 24th district. Laverne, how are you tonight?
I am well, and I am so glad to be on this show.
Well, Laverne, I'm glad that you are throwing your hat to the ring. Now, I know that you had ran last year, 2020. This year, it's going to be something different. Big and bold, getting out there and letting folks know who you are. So tell our audience a little bit about you.
I'm Laverne Spicer. I am a fighter. I've been fighting all of my life. Even as a child, I grew up fighting for my neighborhood. Always believe in being a servant of the community. And I've always believed in helping people. And that's always been a part of my passion. So when as passionate as I am about that, that's how passionate I am about winning my seat and serving my community and helping the elders in my community and the people in my community in general.
Right.
Because my district is one of the poorest districts in the state of Florida.
Well, who isn't representing you right now in Florida?
That sounds about right. Right now, we are being represented by Frederica Wilson.
Oh, wait a minute. Frederica Wilson, the lady with the hats.
Bingo. That's the one.
Okay, Laverne, you have got to take her to the shelter. You got to beat her. all her theatrics, her hat wearing, she's coming out, she's posturing, she's saying this. It's just theater. What has she done? What bills has she organized? She's the first person to want to run out there and go, oh, they don't like me because I'm a woman. Oh, they're attacking me because I'm Black. I'm like, lady, maybe they don't like your hat. Maybe they don't like you as a person. Are you serious? So what has she done for your district?
Nothing that I know of. I know that one of the first bills she tried to pass was a bill that would allow her to wear her hat in Congress.
Oh, my God. To wear, so she's concerned about her looks as opposed to being concerned about the people.
Yes, exactly.
Unbelievable. What else has she done or has she not done? How long has she been in office?
Going on 11 years.
Too long.
11 years too long. And unfortunately, you know, the longer many of them stay in those seats, people just have the tendency to continue voting for them, such as Maxine Waters, the same thing. You know, people just continue to vote for them because that's the face that they know. They yep. assume that they are fighting for them, in which we know they are not. They don't even really care about them at all. You know, they just use them when it's time for voting. But because, you know, one thing I'm seeing for her is that, you know, I'm well known in my district. I help a lot of people through my food bank, my program that I have. So she's working. So now, you know, we'll see her on the news or we'll see her out wearing. Before, she never had to do that because, you know, she never had a real candidate of no type of substance at all. So now she has no choice but to be seen speaking up more in the media and fighting and race baiting and playing the political games that she's playing, basically.
Over a decade, and she still has not done anything for the people of Miami. I noticed you said that you run a food bank. You want to tell the listeners a little bit about what you do for the community?
Yes, well, over 20 years ago, I founded a program. It's called Curly's House Hope Relief Food Bank, and we provide food, clothing, and shelter. Also referrals. We provide a wraparound service to the community, to people that are in need. And of course, we have so many poor people that are here that are in need. And each month, we provide food for over 5,000 families. During the time wow. of COVID, when COVID was really strong, like last year when it first came out, those numbers were really huge. We was doing like 20,000 families a month. So we are here. A lot of times people don't know where to go for the resources that they need. That's another service that we provide. We help guide them in the right directions. A lot of times when people really need help and they go to these agencies for help that are being funded, they play the zip code game. So what that means, if you're not from my zip code, then I don't have to serve you. So that's what their means of turning people away. So a lot of times people get caught up in like a gap or a trap because they don't know where to go. So we help the homeless. You know, we have a large population of homeless vets. These people have been to war to fight for this country. And then a lot of time they return back home and end up homeless in the street. We have a large number of homeless seniors that are sleeping on the bus benches and on the corners of the street, pushing a shopping cart. And it's so sad because when you talk to them, which I do, a lot of times these people are so educated and so intelligent, but somewhere along in their life, they just ran into a dark spot and they became disconnected from their community and disconnected from their family, as well as disconnected from reality. So yes, mental health is a huge problem also in our community. So we are here to deal with all of those issues to help them. We also have a lot of young mothers that are in their 20s and 30s that just happen to have 9 and 10 kids that they are trying to take care of alone with no fathers in the home, no father figures in these kids' life. So, you know, that's really hard too, because if you have all those kids and, you know, you're trying to feed your kids, you're trying to, Pampers are expensive and they have to purchase them for the babies, you know, they need that. So they really need a lot of help. And that's what we do. We give them clothing. We give them Pampers. We help guide them in the right direction to get additional services that they need. With our senior population that we serve, a lot of them receive less than $500 a month total income. So they have to choose whether they're going to pay their rent or pay their medication. And a lot of times that leaves no money for them to eat, because a lot of them receive $5 in food stamps. And when I say that, I know that sounds a little crazy, but it is the truth. They receive $5 in food stamps. So when you go into a grocery store these days, $5, you can't even buy a gallon of milk. You can't even purchase a fresh vegetable or anything with $5 in food stamps. So once again, that's where we come in at, to fill in that gap in our community, to show these people love and support, to let them know that God has not forgotten them. You know, we as people, we, a lot of times when people struggle, a lot of times all we have is our faith. And sometimes when you don't have faith, you don't have anything. And a lot of people that don't have faith, they have the tendency to give up on life more quicker than the ones that at least believe in something. So we spend time with them to let them know that we are here. And a lot of times, you know, sad to say, but with the senior population, their kids only come back to see them like the first of the month when they get their checks. A lot of times they don't check on mom. They don't know what's going on with mom. And mom is going through a lot in these buildings, because what we are seeing, I know so far as where I'm at in Miami in the inner city, you know, you have these developers, they go to the county, they get taxpayer dollars to build these buildings, right? So then after the 30 years is up for that agreement, then they have the right to sell those buildings. So when they sell those buildings to independent private people that come and buy these buildings, then they are no longer under the strings that are tied to that building. So as a private owner, I can run my building how I want to run it. But you still have these low income clients that are in these buildings. And a lot of time they don't maintain the buildings. They don't keep them up. We have senior buildings here in Miami. Some of them have two elevators, and it's been, and they have 17 floors. And it's been time when both elevators were out of service. So when you have seniors that are homebound, elderly, they're catching, you know what, trying to get down those stairs. And a lot of times they don't know where to call or who to call. And if they call, nothing happens. So I have a close enough relationship with them that they know they could call me, Laverne. Our elevators are not working. Sometimes those elevators may be out for 2 and 3 days. And when they call me, I make a call. And when I make that call, somebody always come and repair those elevators the same day. Thank God for that. But with that being said, that's like a disaster waiting to happen. What would happen if an elderly person had a heart attack and fire rescue had to walk those seven, and they're on the 17th floor, they have to walk 17 floors of stairs just to get to that individual. So that's why it's so important for people to vote for people that have a heart, a servant's heart, and truly want to help them, and not just a person that's an elected official that's been in office for many years, that's totally disconnected from the community and obviously does not care about the community at all. And a lot of them are self-serving as well, because when you're not in their groups, you're not in their clubs, you're not in their sororities or fraternities, a lot of times they do not care about you. And that's just the truth, until once again it's time for them to run for office. Then you'll see them out. You know, are you hearing them on the radio? Because they need your help. They need you to vote for them. Time for a change, people. It's time for y'all to wake up and do better.
Laverne, you've said a lot. I mean, just listening, I you have the passion. And I'm looking at your page and you said, my mission is to improve the quality of life for low to moderate income individuals, families, veterans, the homeless, at-risk youth, the abused, HIV, AIDS-infected individuals. And just listening to what you said, you covered it all. You touched all of those bases, saying what you're going to do, what you've seen, and what needs to happen. Because when people don't, like you said, when they lose faith, and that's all we have, they're just there. And you mentioned the moms who are going through a lot. You know, they're at home with all their kids. They're trying to make ends meet. And then the elderly, you mentioned the seniors. I mean, you went through and just checked off all the boxes, telling us about your district, what you want to do. Not once have I heard Frederica Wilson come out and say anything like that. For the past few years, she was busy trying to attack President Trump. She was busy trying to say he doesn't like her because she's Black, as opposed to trying to serve her district. Like you said, they're serving themselves. And the only time you will hear about them and their district is when it's election time, when they want the vote. Other than that, out of sight, out of mind. So what made you decide to just jump in the race and do it? Because you know she's going to go after you. She's going to come after you, she and her henchmen. Because they're not going to want you to change the tide. They're not going to want you to uplift the people that they're serving. Why did you decide to do it, Laverne?
Well, like I said, you know, after 20 years of serving my community, after 20 years of working with politicians, after 20 years of helping people get elected to office, I decided it's time for me to make this change for my own self. Because anytime you run a nonprofit organization, you know, working with politicians is kind of hand in hand thing, because, you know, you're serving people, the same people that they want to talk to, the same people that they want to get their message over to, the same people that they want to vote for them and help them get elected to office. So when you need their help and you call them, you know, even though you don't knock on doors for them, even though you've been with them getting petitions signed and everything else, a lot of time when you call them for help, you know, it's like it falls on deaf ears. But, you know, remember, I'm the same person that was walking down the street for you and knocking on doors for you. So I decided, instead of, you know, doing what I would normally do, which is help somebody else, it's time for me to run for office myself, because I have dedicated much of my life to helping others. Now it's time for me to go to the next level of being able to help them on a whole different level, in a real level, that I would be able to make the real changes that's going to really affect them, as well as help fight against some of those other type of injustices that are taking place. And, you know, if I spend my life living in fear and worrying about how they're going to attack me, then that's all in vain. I could care less about that. For me, I'm going to continue to fight for what I believe in, and I'm going to continue to do what I do, which is being a blessing to others.
That's powerful.
Somebody have to do it.
Someone has to do it. And we are our brother's keepers. And like you said, indeed, you have an insight. You know what you're speaking so passionately and so clearly as to what you want to do for your district. And again, Frederica Wilson, I don't know what she's done besides wear her little gimmicky caps and then parade out there. It's unfortunate because we have a lot of people like that. And the scripture tells us, to whom much is given, much is expected. She has been given a lot for 11 plus years. And what has she done? What are her returns for investment to the community? Has she done anything for the homeless? Or is she only there when it's time to vote? Much is expected of her. Yet and still, people will still vote for these same people over and over again. Like you said, it's time to wake up. It's time for a change. Because if she's not bringing anything to the table, she's not bringing anything to help you eat at night, to put clothes on your back, to give you shelter, Why is she there? Other than the fact that, oh, I'm Frederica Wilson and I'm going to walk out there with my caps on and people are going to see me. Okay, but there's more to it than that. You went through a laundry list describing your community and saying what you're going to do. Like you said, 20 years of being in the community. And now you're saying, hey, I need to help them on a different level. You're not worried about the attacks because you want to help your people on a different level. And that's what it's all about. Being servants to the people and not ourselves. So I would employ the people in Florida to take a look at you and look at what Frederica is doing and her 20 million caps or hats or whatever she wants to call it. What is she going to bring to the table for you at night? Helping the single mothers. 11 years and the district is still in that type of condition?
Yes.
I mean, what are people thinking? Or why aren't they thinking? No, has the GOP been kind to you? Are they reaching out to you, the Republican establishment? What are they saying?
I have been attending the meetings. I've been reaching out. And I'm always out and about in the community. I see so many candidates that are running. And candidates, Republican candidates, they are out. We all work in the same circles. And of course, we do receive a lot of help from different Republican caucuses and Republican representatives. But so far as the GOP, no.
Speak truth to power. No. And that's what I said when I came on. Maybe they're trying to wait to see how things are going to narrow out. But I would say to the GOP, to Rona McDaniels and all the other elected officials that are in that area, you got to start somewhere. And you have got to start grooming and bringing in new candidates, fresh faces with different ideas. You can't stick with the same thing all the time because the platform or the layout of America is changing. It is changing. We can't always go with old white men. Old white men are good. They paved the way. But now we got to look at something different. We got to look out and not just look at something that's different for identity politics' sakes, as Andrew always reminds me, but we got to look at people who are qualified and have that passion in their belly to push it forward. And if they see it, it's like, get out there, groom that person, support that person. Because as we see right now, there is an attack on old white men. And if your constituency are young and they're not old and they're not white, they're going to look the other direction. So it's now time to get out there and support these candidates and say, hey, let's push them out there. Let's give them a voice. Might not like them, but let's give them a voice, give them a platform so that they can be seen and heard, which is what we want to do on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. We want to make certain that all the candidates that are there, that people see, okay, this is whom I can choose from. These are the voices that are out there, because a lot of times you'll only hear the voices of Frederica Wilson because, okay, she's a known candidate and man, let's just keep her out there. And the GOP would just say, oh, well, we're not going to win anyway. So why even waste any money? You do it so that people will see what you're about and that you're willing to take the next step in supporting these candidates.
Yeah, if the GOP wants our money, they need to start backing some new blood of candidates. We hear this all the time that the GOP is hesitant to get behind candidates unless if they're already rich or already have a lot of money into their campaign. That should be their job to put money into good candidates' campaign, not the people running for office's job.
I agree.
And
that's what they've got to do. I mean, you're out there, like you said, you're going from door to door and you're saying, hey, here I am. And you're very prolific on social media, definitely on Twitter. I follow you on Twitter. And I mean, man, you are no holes barred. You tell it like you see it and like you mean it. And that's what we need. We need candidates that are like that. Now, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour, but before Andrew takes us to break, allow me to ask you this, Laverne. Yes. Have you always been a conservative?
No.
Okay. That was quick. When did you switch over?
Well, let me explain it to you, okay? You know, I was born into the Democratic Party, like most Black people are born into the Democratic way of thinking.
Amen.
You know, the Democrats support us. Let's vote for them. They always support us. They're here for the Black community. And the Republicans are all a bunch of old racists. That's the way a lot of us think. That is what a lot of us are taught, okay? So because of my background of working with people and because of what I've seen over the years from working with the Democrats, which a lot of them are my friends, a lot of them I have helped, okay? But when President Trump was elected, I started to listen to him. And it was so many questions that I had that I was wondering about for years. Like, for instance, why are these people in office? And then when you ask them for help, oh, I don't have the power to do that. Well, what the hell are you in office for if you don't have the power to do that? I understand they don't have the power to do some things, but President Trump made a difference by doing. He put job creation, prison reform, and so on and so on and so on. And the questions were like, why are we sending money to China? Why are we sending our food to China when we have hungry people right here in the United States? He put a stop to a lot of that. So that in itself answered the questions that I had in my mind. That's what caught my attention. And I started listening to what the Patriots stood for. Why against abortions of Black kids, fighting for the freedom of speech and having the right to stand up and say what you feel. The Second Amendment rights, the right to bear guns, the right to protect yourself, the right to protect your family. That's what caught my attention. That's why I changed my party affiliation. And I'm gonna go a little bit farther to say this. When I started going to President Trump's rallies, when I attended those rallies, a lot of times it was just a few Black people there, but the white people that were there, they were so nice and so friendly. It was totally unbelievable, okay? It wasn't like when I show up in a room full of Black people and they look at me and they roll their eyes. It wasn't like that.
Oh, you're talking now. You're breaking it straight.
It wasn't like that. And I'm talking about what I experienced as a Black person, okay? Yep. I grew up in North Carolina where I experienced a lot of racism within the Black community between the light-skinned Black people and the darker-skinned Black
people. Don't say that. You're breathing.
Now, I'm the one. I keep it real for you. I break it down for
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Because in North Carolina, I was considered dark. Believe it or not, I was considered dark. So I know about that light skin, dark skin thing. But then when I came to Miami, then here I'm light. I'm considered light. And a lot of times when I showed up to those meetings, when I stepped foot in that room, all I saw was eyes rolling. Ugh. So I'm like, but when I went to Trump rallies with all those white people, they were so nice. I never experienced that type, you know, of feeling in my life. On a serious note, I cannot believe it. So I would go on to say I was glad to see that. But I also would like to see more of them getting out into our community, embracing our community, because a lot of Black people believe in the same thing, but they just don't know. It's
exactly
another way of thinking.
Right,
they're saying the same thing. We all fighting for the same thing. We want to be able to have a free country. We don't want to see this country being turned into a communist country. And while our eyes are closed and blindfolded to the lies that they're telling us, and then they go so far as to be angry because we don't want to sit back and tolerate their crap. While you have Black people on the news that are totally selling us ignorant BS every day, such as Joy, Morning Coffee with Miss Joy, okay? It's totally ridiculous what they are saying. And people believe that stuff. That's the sad part. How could you actually even believe a lot of that stuff that they're saying? So it's time for us to wake up. As Black people, to wake up and stop being gullible. And I'm going to go on to say this. We as Black people, we as people are so gifted and so talented. We are gifted and talented. We have created us so much in life. We have created so many things. We are gifted. So we as people, you can have whatever you believe that you can have. It's not the white man's fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. I had, as a young person, when I first came to Miami at the age of 18, I got up every day. I went to work. I went to beauty school, cosmetology school. Yes.
Laverne, hold this thought. We will come back to this next segment. We are here with Florida congressional candidate Laverne Spicer, and she is on fire. You are tuned into After Dark with Robin Andrew on the iHeartRadio Network, Spotify, Stitcher, just about any other audio app. Check out the website, AmericaOutLoud.com, which has just recently celebrated its 5-year anniversary. We will be back with much more from candidate Laverne Spicer after this break.
Now, never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called ShopToTheRight.com. And it's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America. They support veteran-owned businesses as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together. We need to shop together, and we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
The America Out Loud family is comprised of patriots in the true sense of the word. We know that if America fails, the world will fail. It is incumbent upon us to carry the torch for liberty and the Constitution to help save America for future generations to come. AmericaOutLoud.com. It's a fight for the soul of humanity.
And we're back. And our special guest today is Laverne Spicer, who is running for Congress in Florida's 24th Congressional District. Before we went to break, Laverne was telling it like it is. I mean, she was exposing all the lies that Democrats have been putting out there for the longest about racism and Blacks can't do this and Blacks can't do that. And one of the things that she said is that Black people are gifted. You can get yours, but you have got to get up. At the age of 18, she left North Carolina, went to Florida, Miami, and got up every darn day,
every day,
to make it happen. No regrets. Not blaming anybody, not making excuses. She did it. And you can do it. But you got to stop listening to Democrats telling you that you're being oppressed by the white people. The biggest oppressors of Black people, unfortunately, is Black people. Because we buy into it and we won't help ourselves. We always want to look for someone who's oppressing us when we need to look in the mirror and just say, hey, I need to get up and get after it. So come on and give it to us, Laverne. Tell us.
Okay, like where I was at. Came here when I was 18. I started working. I had a job. I went to cosmetology school. After I graduated from cosmetology school, because I always enjoyed doing hair, I met my mentor, Miss Curly King. I worked in her shop up until she was just like a mother to me. Okay, so after her death, I ended up owning the business. Okay, I ended up owning, becoming a business owner. And I worked hard. I was there whether I wanted to be or whether I did not want to be. And I was the baby of the bunch among a whole bunch of older women. So all of them was like my mother. All of them poured into my life positive things. So after her death, that's when I started Curly's House. It's all about her legacy and all about giving back. That's when I went on to start that. So the point of the matter is, if you believe it, you can achieve it. You cannot blame nobody else for your shortcomings. It's not the white man's fault. It's time out for that. Everything begins with that man in the mirror, the one, that face you see when you wake up in the morning, the one, that reflection in the mirror, that's where it starts with. If you tell yourself, hey, this, find out what your passion is. Your passion will lead you to your destiny. My passion was doing hair. It led me straight into the cosmetology, into becoming a business owner, into starting a nonprofit. And when I started my nonprofit, it wasn't easy. I had to work every day, but my heart was for helping people and always has been. So I spent a lot of money out of my pocket, buying food for people that I didn't even know, making sure I had clothing in here to give to people that I did not even know. You know, the rent was due. I had to pay the rent here, lights, you know, everything came out of my pocket for many years. That's the sacrifice I made to help people. That's how much I love people, because people may not see the face of God, but they will see God in us because our love and our compassion that we show them, that is so important. Because sometimes people just need that little ray of hope and that little push to let them know you can do it. You can do it. So once again, that's what it's all about. And that's what I do. I had a lady that came here one time to my organization. She came to me from out of the blue. She said, Miss, I need you to help me. I do not know you. I don't know you, ma'am. I don't tell nobody my business, but something in my heart tell me to talk to you and I need you to help me. I said, go ahead, ma'am. Tell me what your problem is. She said her husband left her for another woman. She had a handicapped son to take care of. She had no food in the house and could not pay her rent and her mortgage. And it was in the process. Her house was in foreclosure. So I prayed with her. I gave her food. I made a phone call to a friend of mine that was a real estate agent. The lady stopped the foreclosure on this lady's home. She went ahead, put it up for a short sale, sold it, helped her find a place that she could afford to pay for, and also put a few dollars in her pocket. That lady was so happy. So if I could do things like this and I'm not in office, then imagine what I could do when I'm elected to office.
You're not a victim. You don't want to see yourself as a victim. So when you hear Black politicians or commentators like Joy Reid attack Black conservatives like Tim Scott and say some of the most offensive things, Uncle Tim, Uncle Tom, and attack Clarence Thomas, our Supreme Court justice, Black Supreme Court justice, the only one, they will attack them viciously. I mean, they would attack them as if though Joy Reid, she's a white woman attacking a Black man, and she has no qualms about it. She does it, and she keeps going. What are your thoughts when you hear this viciousness, this ugliness coming from the Black community toward Black conservatives? What are your thoughts?
Well, so far as Joy Reid, that's what she gets paid to do, so she's doing her job. Mm. And she gets paid for it, and she does a good job of keeping Black people in the dark, with keeping them with the victim mentality and carrying out the Democratic agenda, which is basically to steal, kill, and destroy from what I'm seeing.
That's powerful. And kill, steal, and destroy. That's powerful because you look at black babies, abortion. I mean, COVID-19, everything was shut down besides abortion clinics. And you find a lot of abortion clinics in black neighborhoods. So when I hear them saying, oh, you know, you don't want black people to be afraid of a black planet. It's like, no, you're afraid of it because look at the abortions, black babies being aborted.
Yes, over 250,000 a year.
And then they want to talk about the police. They're killing black people. All you have to do is listen to the police. Yes, there is violence that is out there. Yes, there's discrimination. Yes, there's racism. But when the police tell me to stop, I will stop and I will listen. Live to see another day as opposed to putting your life out there on the line. And then you want to blame everybody and say it's systemic racism and this and that. It's like, why can't we just tell our own people, stop, listen, live to see another day? But she will not say that. She comes out guns blazing, attacking black conservatives. She and Maxine Waters. And saying, burn it down, do this and do that, burn down our own community.
Yes, that's what, you know, that's their job, to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what they're really good at doing. And Maxine is really the leader of that pack, her and Joy, Frederica, all of them. And it's sad. I'm in the same boat as Tim Scott. I get called the same names, the Coons, the Uncle Toms, Uncle Laverne, and the list goes on. But that's not going to stop me from fighting for what I believe in, because God has not given me the spirit of fear, and I will not be afraid. So I don't care what they say. I will continue to fight for what I believe in, and I will continue to wake the black people up. It's time to leave that plantation.
Yeah, well said, Laverne. Florida has just recently joined Georgia in its voting laws bill. What do you think of voter ID, and what do you think of when Democrats try and tell black people that they're being oppressed of their right to vote?
In Florida, we have a lot of dead people that are voting here. So I think, you know, of course, voter ID is good, because when the dead people come to vote, I want to see them bring their ID to the table.
That's a good one. Absolutely. And it's crazy when people say black people can't get an ID. It's like, this is 2021. You have to have an ID for everything. You have
everything.
To
have an ID. Right. So everything, like, you need an ID for.
So why is it that we can't get an ID? You have to get ID for public assistance to get on a plane. And you say that they can't get an ID to vote. In essence, what they're saying is that black people are too stupid and dumb to get an ID. That's what they're saying.
Of course, that's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. It's nothing you can do without an ID. So why should you be allowed to vote without an ID? You know, as a matter of fact, that would stop a lot of voter fraud. And you all know, just like I said before, one of our main problems in Florida is that we have so many dead people that show up for each and every election. So that would help to put a stop to that.
Right. Dead people coming in to vote. It's like, really?
Yes.
Yeah, we're hearing about that happen all over the country. Laverne, a lot of people are very happy with your governor, DeSantis, and how he handled the lockdown. I know you're a hairdresser, so you could probably appreciate that he let the businesses kind of think for themselves and stay
yes.
open. Did you agree with Governor DeSantis' approach to the pandemic compared to a lot of these other states that are blue that are still locked down?
Yes, I support Governor DeSantis so much in his decision making. Like you said, you know, as a hairdresser, as a business owner, period, you know, even though your business is closed for 3 months, that does not stop your rent. Your rent is still due for your business. Your light bill is still due. So the point of the matter is all your bills are still due. You know, if you have a mortgage, your mortgage payment is due. So you can't go and say, hey, well, you know, I'm closed. A lot of people lost their businesses, especially a small business.
Laverne, when you look at all these politicians that are out there and what they're doing, and you look at all of the different states, the states and towns that succeeded, all of the states that succeeded were red states and the towns, whereas the ones that failed were blue states and blue towns. They all failed because of their own policies, policies that just destroyed people, destroyed jobs. And why anyone would look at supporting a Democrat is beyond my realm of thinking. What did Frederica do? I haven't even seen her come out and say anything about the crises with jobs shut down. I haven't seen her say anything. I mean, is she still, are they carting her around? I mean, what is she waiting for? Why is she hiding?
Well, usually when she comes out, it's something race related, because that's their ace card. It's always about race. Everything is about race. That's their card that they use, you know? If you look back in, I would say, the early 1900s, Black people were thriving during that time. We had our own banks. We had our own people own very successful businesses. I remember in the shop working with the older people, they always talked about when celebrities would come to town and they would go and see them at the night beat, the Sir John, and different places where they would go, and they would see people like the Four Tops of the Temptations and that type of stuff. We had our own hotels. We had our own movie theaters. But what do we have to show for it today? So the point of the matter, how can you say race is the cause of what's taking place today? How can you say that when Black people was thriving years ago? And a lot of times for many of us today, we are all one paycheck away from being homeless. So how can you say that it's because of the race when years ago, many people were thriving and doing much better than what we are today?
Like you said, people gave up. They had no hope. And then you had people who say that they were going to represent us who failed us miserably. You look at the folks that are out there now, they're more interested in how much money they can put in their own bank accounts. Look at Frederica. She's looking at what can I get? What can I profit from? As opposed to looking at the homeless in the community, looking at the people, the elderly in the community. Like you said, looking at the seniors, our seniors, the people who have paved the way and people just turn their backs on them. Looking at our young people who have lost their way, who don't have a way. And then we always want to blame someone else besides looking at ourselves, like you, as you said so eloquently, looking at the man in the mirror and telling that man in the mirror, what are you going to do today? Are you going to blame someone, or are you going to get up there and get after it? What are you doing to help yourself? What are you doing to help the community? What are you doing to bring the community together? Or are you going to just sit there and let people say, oh, well, you know, you got the oppressors that are out there and they're going to stop you? I mean, you were 18 when you left home and you went to Miami and you still kept going. And look at where you are today. Like you said, you had a passion for helping people, wanted to go on. And something that I thought was so important before we close out the first segment is when you said you were born into a Democratic Party. Many Black people, myself. But as I grew up, I always had those conservative ideas, but I was afraid to say it because I thought, well, they're not going to like me. Or if I say this, they're going to say, oh, you're an Uncle Tom. But then I started listening. I'm like, but that's who I am. I am for those conservative ideas. And I've got to be true to that, because the Democrat ideas, they just want to hold me back. They don't want to help. They don't want me to go forward without them holding my hand and pulling me back. So like you say, you went to those Trump rallies, being the only sometimes Black person there, and you were well received, as opposed to going to a Democrat party and they're looking at you from head to toe. Who does she think she is, and where does she think she's going? You know, and you can feel it and you sense it. Whereas when you went to a Trump rally, it was like, wow, I'm home, like-minded people that are concerned about the economy, that are concerned about me taking it to the next level and me being able to do for myself, as opposed to them with their hands in my pocket taking out what I've earned. So I enjoyed hearing that. It's like an epiphany. And I think if so many other Black people were to stop listening to what the left is saying about this person is a racist, you're going to find racists no matter where you go. And you will find a lot of them sitting in the Democrat Party, as we found out the other day when they all came out and attacked Tim Scott, and no one said a thing about it. It was as if though it was accepted. It took Twitter 11 hours to take down all of those racist attacks. And who was leading the charge? Black people. Joy Reid, Touré, the guy, the commentator. And not once has Barack Obama come out to say, this is wrong. Michelle hasn't said anything about it. Joe Biden hasn't said anything. Kamala Harris hasn't said anything. So you can only imagine that they're going to attack you and they're not going to say anything. And when you saw what they were doing to Tim Scott, you called it out. Yes. But what about the other Democrats? But then they always want, well, Republicans, they're racist. It's like, no, look in the mirror. Look at that person, because that person in the mirror is the racist person. And still, at this point in time, tonight, Barack Obama and Michelle are yet to come out and denounce the attacks on a U.S. Senator, Tim Scott. They're yet to do it, but yet and still, we will hold them up in high regard. Look at the crime. Look at the deaths in Chicago. You would think he would go there and march in Chicago, but he won't. Yes, Black Lives Matter, but Black people have got to tell Black people that Black Lives Matter. All lives matter. But what is Barack Obama doing? Race baiting, because it helps him make more money. It's really sad. All he had to do was send out a tweet and say, wait, Tim Scott is a U.S. Senator. You might not agree with him, but the attacks that you guys are labeling against him is wrong. You're guilty of the exact same thing that you say that the Republicans are guilty of. I said it. Why can't he say it? I saw your tweets. You said it, Laverne.
Yes.
I mean, and we're not even the president. We weren't even the 44th president. And we stood up and we said it, but he's hiding. What are your thoughts on him not saying anything? Complete silence.
You know, that's what they do. And to go a little farther, we have in office now, we have Joe Biden, the one that wrote the 1994 crime bill.
Bingo.
And Kamala Harris, the one that locked up more Black people.
Bingo.
And laughed in their face and humiliated Black people. You have the two of them leaving the United States, the two biggest enemies of Black people.
Bingo.
So what do you expect? And at the end of the day, they're all on the same team. So it's not going to be good for us with the two of them in office. And of course, we know who's running everything. Obama.
And the third term. Yep.
Obama, the third term. He's running it along with their best friend, Miss Clinton, Hillary.
Yeah.
So what do we expect?
The only thing they're going to do is keep Black people dependent upon them.
In bondage.
In bondage. Slave mentality. And Joe, if you're not Black, if you don't vote for me, you're not Black. Oh, really?
Yeah, man, you're like not you said, Black enough.
The man who created the crime bill, the man who said he didn't want his kids going to school with Black people, and he is yet to denounce that. And remember, Kamala Harris called him out on it during the primaries. And now and they're... They're buddies.
The same man that said he wished Haiti would sink so far below ground level. That's the same one.
And you know something? I'm glad you mentioned that about Haiti, because the Clintons and all these Democrats just went in and raped Haiti. You have Haitians now, Laverne, trying to come here, and they're telling them, no, stay away.
Right.
But when you look at the southern border, you look at the southern border and you look at the Mexicans that are coming. Oh, you all can come. Come on over. Come on. What is the big difference? They're both minorities. What is the difference? What is the difference? Joe Biden wanting Haiti to sink.
Yes.
But the others, oh, come on. Come on over here. And it's not a crisis at the border. He doesn't even know what a crisis is. I doubt seriously he knows if he's going or coming. Because there's a call time and a cap time on everything that he does every day, I think, around 3 o'clock, so that he can go. They can shoot him up with vitamin B12s and put him to bed with some cookies and milk. I mean, this, like you said, he's not running things. Obama's third term, he's running things from his basement. Hillary Clinton, she's probably injecting her little crazy thoughts. Meanwhile, they're telling Black people, oh, we're going to help you out and we're going to do this. I don't think so. So I'm glad that we have candidates like you, Laverne, that are willing to step out there, knowing fully well that you're going to be attacked. but you're willing to do it because of your compassion for people. So yes. You have an audience here right now. Do you want people to know about Laverne? You already said what you're going to do, senior citizens. What else should they know about you to bring them to the poll to cast a vote for you and not Frederica? Now, I can tell you right now, looking at Frederica and all her bazillion cats, you should pass on her. But talk to the voters right now and let them know what you want them to know and why they should vote for Laverne Spicer.
You should vote for me because I have been fighting for my community, for people in general. All of my life has been dedicated to helping others, to helping the less fortunate, to helping people that are in need. I don't run. I don't turn my back. I listen to you. And if any way I can help you, that's my heart and my passion to do so. So as an elected official, I will continue to help my district. The people that need help the most, you'll have my direct attention like you already do. I've always been a fighter. I truly care about what's taking place in this country. I believe in God. I walk in the calling that He has called me to walk in my life, which is to help others, which is to show love and compassion, because in His word says, with kindness have I shown thee and have I loved thee. So, you know, that's what it's all about, being compassionate enough to listen to people, to listen to your constituents, to listen to the voters, and to help people and to meet them in their need. And not to say as an elected person, oh, I can't do this and I can't do that. You know, sometimes people just need help for simple things. So if you have a whole staff that you're working with, then it's no reason that you can't get things done. The district should not continue to look the way it does with all these abandoned housing facilities that they put the seniors out of that was living in the HUD facilities, and the places are just abandoned, sitting there. You know, we have so many people that really need help. So with that being said, I am the one that will listen. I am the one that cares. And I also have the heart to help you. I enjoy working with people. I want to see changes made. And I am a conservative. And I am a true patriot. I'm proud of this country, the United States. We have one of the best countries on earth. And I believe in this country and I will continue to fight for it. And I do not want to see this country become a communist country. And that's the direction in which we are headed in. So yeah. With that being said, you can support me. Go to my website, Vote Laverne Spicer. Send your donations. You know, I need help with my campaign. So you can donate to my campaign as well. If you would like to make a donation to my food bank, we do use the funds to purchase food. I'm here for you all. You can hit me up on Twitter. Please follow me on Twitter at Laverne Spicer.
Thank you so much, Laverne. The GOP and Ronna McDaniel should be backing up the Brinks truck to your house, in my opinion, because you are impressive. It is clear your love for America. We look forward to having you on again. Thank you for joining us tonight on After Dark with Robin Andrew on America Out Loud. Check out the revamped website over at AmericaOutLoud.com. Find us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher. We will see you guys next time. And remember to stand for something or you will fall for nothing.